begin by giving everyone a welcome again. We do that so often, but again, we do it sincerely. It's just good to get together, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but to engage ourselves as a congregation in worship to God. So thank you for your attendance this morning very, very much. I guess I'm supposed to answer your question, Rick, but you already answered your own question by looking at the different translations of the Bible or versions, and the word perfect doesn't have a singular definition meaning flawless. The word perfect can mean blameless or mature or ripe. No, it is fruit or something. It can be just... So the word perfect has different meanings. So I'm glad you changed translations. That's what I used in my notes. And your bulletin was the New King James translation. So you have an outline of the lesson this morning in the bulletin. You're very welcome to follow along. Many times, as you would know, when I type up the outline for you, I just highlight a particular word or phrase. I read the whole verse to you in my presentation, but I just want to put everything on a single page, so that's why you just have a particular word or phrase. I think when we think about the five tests of Job, you've already experienced one test today. That was the test of faith in the time change this morning. Some of you answered that test successfully. You are here this morning on time. But by way of introduction to our lesson this morning, the book of Job is a rather long story. There's 42 chapters. It's about how God shows us that the best life, meaning a life that is approved by God, is a life that gives God first place no matter what the situation. So in the midst of many trials, and I've listed five of them for you, obviously I'm not going to cover 42 chapters in 20 minutes. But in all these trials that Job has, Job remains faithful to God and always gives God honor. And that's the lesson. So we're going to list at least five of the trials that the book mentions. And you're very welcome to kind of follow along in your Bibles if you'd like to read the whole verse or the verse that's before or after the one that I'm going to give you. But here are five tests that Job faced, at least five. Number one, the test of prosperity. When you read the text, Job was a very wealthy man. And I put several areas just to kind of give you the sense of his wealth. But first of all, he was very rich spiritually. In verse 1 of chapter 1, that man was blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned evil. Wow. He was a spiritual giant in that sense. Very rich spiritually. He was rich in children, 7 sons, 3 daughters were born to him. Rich in substance, and the Bible points that out. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. And there was even more. He was rich in servants. That same verse in the introduction to the book of Job, verse 3, just gives a simple phrase, and a very large household. And he was rich in the land, same verse. This man was the greatest of all the people in the east. Wow. That covered a vast territory. And Job, you're king of the mountain. Wow. Prosperity was a test of faith. Because even though he had all of this abundance, he maintained his faith and dependence upon God. Sometimes prosperity, when we're tested with prosperity, we turn away from God. Thank you, God, for the abundance. If I ever lose it, I'll call on you. But Job, even with all the treasure that he had, he maintained faith and honor. Verse 5 said he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings. And then it gives the final phrase of the verse, and thus did Job regularly, all the time. I put this one kind of brings it home to us. So Paul says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. That's one of the best. Godliness with contentment with what we have. We brought nothing into this world, and certainly we will take nothing out. It's a powerful statement. You realize everything that we have has been given to us while we were here. We brought nothing in, we take nothing out. Whatever you have, what did you gain while you're here? When you and I die, we leave here. It stays. Says Paul continues, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich, you can almost say those who already have treasures, fall into a temptation and a snare. Uh-oh, here's the warning, here's the test. They fall into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drowned men in perdition and destruction. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, they didn't stand the test. Love of money captured them. He says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. And that's what Job did. With all of his treasure, with the abundance of everything, he pursued righteousness, godliness, faith, and patience. And that's the admonition for us. The second test is the test of poverty. So Satan comes to God and has that discussion and says, oh, it's easy for Job to have honor and give you worship when everything is going great. So now Satan throws the opposite at Job. And each time something is taken from Job, it's interesting that there's always one servant left to come and tell Job the bad news. Almost like the servant would come in and say, Job, I have good news and bad news. Good news, I'm left. I'm here to tell you the bad news. He loses his substance. Remember we just read about all that abundance? In chapter 1, verse 13, the servant comes back and comes to Job and says, the oxen and the donkeys have been stolen. Fire fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants. The Chaldeans raided the camels and took them away and killed them. But not only that, then there's a second tragedy. And the servant again comes and tells Job. In verses 18 through 20, the servant comes back and says, Job, your sons and your daughters were in a house when a great wind came and destroyed the house, and they died in the destruction. What are you going to do now, God? Job? What are you going to do now? You've lost your substance and your children. But Satan is not finished yet. Now, even in this, Job maintains his integrity. He doesn't sin. But in the next chapter, chapter 2, the poverty situation continues and Job loses his health. Chapter 2, verse 4, Job was struck with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Boils. And he would scrape them. Get a picture. But even with the test of these, we mentioned Job remains faithful back in chapter 1, verse 20. When he suffered the loss of substance and little children, says Job, arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshipped. What would you do if you lost your substance and your children? Job worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job, he just lost everything. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. chapter 2, verse 10, after he loses his health, says, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job went from rich and famous to poor and shunned. And yet he's faithful. So, what about us? Our losses of prized possessions will be a test. Maybe we haven't lost much yet. But we will lose possessions. Jesus said it, and I've experienced it. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Don't be wary about the abundance of these perishables. Because moth and rust will destroy, and thieves will break through and steal. Right. So lay up for yourselves, be sure of this, like Job did. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Not only have I experienced in some of the things that I've had, I've experienced moth and rust. I've experienced thievery. I've just lost things. I mean, where is that? I don't know. I lost it. I've had just things broken. I've carried things that, oops, oh no. There goes that treasure. I've stored treasures. You can't find them. They're in the garage. Somewhere. They're gone as far as I'm concerned. I can't find them. Jesus tells the lesson of a rich man who decided he'd lay up for himself treasures, but then he died. His soul was required of it. So Jesus said, take heed, beware of covetousness, for your life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you have. So our life is more than our abundance. Job recognized that. There's more to life. And all of these, I'm king of the mountain. Nobody has, I'm the greatest in the east. Oh, Job, they're gone now. Oh. But I'm not going to charge God with wrong. I'll not sin with my lips. Our possessions, or our loss of them, will test us. Number three, there's a test of persecution. Persecution, I know from any source, it troubles them. But when it comes from those who are closest to us, it seems worse and extremely hurtful. Those who should have helped Job bear his burdens made his burdens heavier. His wife, one that should have been a source of strength, was spared from being taken from Job. Everything else was, but not the wife. She was left to persecute him. Should have been the source of strength, but she adds to his torment and his temptation. Chapter 2, verse 9. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? She recognized, Job, you're still staying on God's side through all of this. You still do that? Her recommendation was, curse God and die. Why don't you just die, Job? But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? Shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. But not only Job received persecution from his wife, but from his friends. Chapter 2, verse 11. First, it started out great. I have good news, Job. Your friends are here to give you comfort. Verse 11 of chapter 2. When Job's three friends heard of all of this adversity that had come upon him, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, those are the names of three friends, came to mourn and comfort Job. They wept, sprinkled dust on their heads, sat down with Job for 7 days and nights, and no one word to him. They just sat in silence in their comfort. Job, I'm kind of like, Job, I'm here for 7 days. Where they saw that his grief was very great. Well, it lasted 7 days before their persecution. should be getting. In other words, you deserve worse, Job. But Job is blameless. They're making false accusations. They're making, you know, surmise. Well, this is what I think, Job. You must be a horrible person to have all this trouble in your life. So I put in your notes, with friends like these, who needs enemies? But Job answers, chapter 19, there's several other chapters. I just started with this one. You can read 42 chapters on your own. But even Job begins with his answer in chapter 19. How long, in verse 3, how long will you torment my soul to all of these criticizers? In verse 17, even explaining his situation, he says, even my breath is offensive to my wife. You know, not only have I lost all these things, and even my breath is bad. He says in verse 20, I've escaped by the skin of my teeth. In verse 22, he asks him a question again, why do you persecute me? But then his statement of faith in verse 25, I know that my Redeemer lives. That's his answer, among other places in the finishing chapters. But his answer is, I know that my Redeemer lives. The fourth test is, I just kind of put a text of perplexity. He's almost done, kind of saying, why me? Why me? He's almost wanting to cry out to God and say, God, I'm on your side. I'm feeling the worst of it. It's almost, God, shouldn't I be getting better treatment from you? I'm your servant. God, don't help. Shouldn't I be getting more help than what I'm getting from you? That's the kind of the picture. So I put in your notes, it's one thing to maintain faith when everything makes sense. However, it's quite another when seemingly nothing makes sense. I don't understand why I'm going through this when I'm God's servant. I'm trying to give my best to God. I don't do a lot of things the other people are doing. I'm doing all stuff. But why should I suffer? Clear that Job didn't know why he had so many troubles, but yet he doesn't lose faith in God. In his attitude, I put in your notes, back in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if God takes my life, I'm going to still maintain trust. Yeah, that's the perplexity of all this trouble and trial. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But even at the worst, if it's my life is taken, I'm still maintaining my faith in God, and that's the test. Job passed. I don't understand. But I'll keep my trust. The last one's a test of power. The final test. At the end, Job is vindicated in the presence of his friends. See, now Job's friends are in need of forgiveness from Job. Now the thing reversed. Okay. You're coming to me for forgiveness? Job, here's a test. What are you going to do? They're asking for forgiveness. So the story concludes in Job 42, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, oh, that's a friend, remember? One of the three friends. The Lord said to Eliphaz, Job almost might have said, God's going to get you guys for this. Comes at the end. God said, or the Lord said, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends. You have not spoken of me that which is right. Oh. My servant Job has, that's in the text, my servant Job has spoken right of me. Verse 8, now therefore, take for yourself seven bulls and seven rams. Go to my servant Job. Oh, I don't want to go before Job. Can I just confess to you, God? No, God said, you go, all three of you, before my servant Job. Offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, Job, lest I deal with you according to your folly. Because you have not spoken of me, which his friends. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years, saw his children, grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of days. Now just put in your notes, we are offered a blessing. Even in the teachings of Jesus, and it's kind of summary of this story. This is what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 10. Blessed are those. Right? Who's going to be blessed? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Job was blameless. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they, the others, our friends or whoever, revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice, but they're accusing me for saying things about me, persecution. But he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I have to look beyond this life, beyond the immediate situation. I don't like the situation I'm in. You hear what they're saying, God? But in all of that, God brought Job through. And at the end, he gets more. And so Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yeah. May not like the test that I'm in. It's hard. Might be the loss of all things instead of the test of wealth. Test of persecution? I mean, not everybody's on my side. Not always encouraging. That's a person of perplexity. Why me? I'm serving you. Giving it my best. I have to suffer. Yeah. But we have to have an end view. Even when we don't see the end in sight of what we're going through. And that's the blessing. Blessing for Job and blessing for you and me. For great is our reward in heaven. First test of your faith is if you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that you'll want to repent and be baptized for remission of sin. That's the first test. Then, having done so, then the next test is to be thou faithful till death. That's the next test. And that's the invitation we offer. We have resources available to help us in those tests. Friendship and fellowship, God's Word, Comforter, hope of heaven, one another, lots of help for us to pass the test. So let's stand together, sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, and then select.